pastor asked me to do this, and I'm happy to do it. I happily, if you're sick, when he got sick, he'd be preaching up here. I kind of felt sorry for him. So, I mean, I will fill in. I'm happy to do it. When I first came to Alaska, this is my introduction. One time Danny Lehman was down at the beach, and I was talking to Danny, and he was telling me about he liked to climb on bluffs, and this is something I did when I was younger. I liked to jump over bluffs, and it's not much different than skiing, except I had hiking boots, and I would prospect the bluff just to make sure that it wasn't too steep, but you can jump down those bluffs and you can go 20, 30 feet or more. And, they got that nice slope on them, and you just hit that and you jump again. And I was thinking about Joe when I did it, because Joe Knox, I say of Joe that, he provides entertainment for angels. You remember that? Yeah. If he's not getting electrocuted, he's out lost in the wilderness for days or something like that. And so Danny was telling me that, he was giving me a warning. He said that he had been climbing up on those bluffs, and he was on a real steep place, and he just was going over backwards. And he said he felt a hand push him back. And I actually believe, that Danny felt a hand pushing him back. We have angels watching over us. The Bible says so. And, I have angels watching over me, and I don't just think the Bible says so. I know so. I've had enough experiences like Danny's to tell me this must be true. God has been watching over me. And I first noticed when I was about 12 years old, and at the time I thought nothing of it. I was a reprobate, and, so what? It didn't really affect me. But as I look back, on my life, and I look back to when I was 12, I say, yes, praise God, angels are watching over me. And today, the first thing I want to do is, that story there doesn't have a lot of bearing on what I want to speak about. I'm going to get turned to the book, Isaiah chapter 40. When I came to Alaska, I had never seen an eagle alive. And if you live in Alaska, eagle is a common sight. When I went back to Michigan recently, when I say recently, I mean within the last 20 years. When I went back to Michigan, I saw an eagle as I was driving back in the UP. I had never seen one growing up. When we spent time, that's the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, I had never seen one. And I was really encouraged that eagles were living in Michigan. And when I got down southern Michigan, where my parents lived, I saw vultures. In recent years, the deer in Michigan have been proliferating. They've been killed everywhere, and there was vultures on the road eating carcasses. And, a vulture, I look more like a vulture than I do an eagle. I'm convinced of that. But, early on in my experience here at Calvary Baptist Church, we used to sing that song. Remember, Doris? It'll come to me. You'll rise up with wings as eagles. You shall run and not be weary. You'll walk and not faint. And that song, it kind of gave me a different perspective. I started watching eagles. And you've seen them too. You've seen them do a lot of things. When they rise up, here they are. Like, I look more like a vulture, right? But they take off, and they're surprisingly fast because whatever's chasing them, and what, you know, they've been on the highway, and, you know, they are able to take off and get out of there in a big hurry, even though they look like they're moving very slow. And then, you know, because of that song that we used to sing, I would, you know, I would watch eagles. And one time, during that time, I saw an eagle just catching. This one was going in circles, and for some reason, it just kind of charmed me. You know, it was at that time where you rise up with wings as eagles, you run and not be weary, so walk and not faint. And so I just watched that eagle, and the Spirit of God was speaking to me through the Word of God. And then, I don't know if you've seen it, but I watch them, and Willie watches them all the time, he tells me. But I've seen eagles come up over Cape Nanilchik right here. You've probably seen it too, Eric. You know, they'll be flying along, and all of a sudden, they'll just go, woof, like 500 to 1,000 feet, like in 2 or 3 seconds. You know, they're catching up grass, and they'll just rise up. And they know how to do it, too. And it's no work at all for them. You know, all they have to do is spread their wings. Or you could say, catch those updrafts, catch that air, and trust God, and He'll take you up. So, because of that, you know, and that whole psalm, the first thing I did, I mean that whole chapter 40, the first thing I did was I learned, you know, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So teach me, Lord. Teach me to wait. I think that's a good message for young people. It's probably a good message for old people, too. But just wait on God. And you can do some Bible reading. You can do some praying. You can do numerous things. But that, you know, Jed came here one time. Well, Jed was here. He was living here with his parents. And I told him, maybe this week, maybe Wednesday, I can't remember. But Jed, his mother was telling me more. She gave me more on her. She's the one that said, I want you to memorize a chapter in the Bible. And Jed memorized that chapter, and he was quoting it. And I thought it was so charming to listen to it. It was some kind of obscure chapter in the Bible, but it just charmed me to hear him. And it was good for him. You know, my grandmother's third husband and my step-grandfather, she outlived two. She didn't outlive him. Gordon King was his name. He used to sit around the table after a day of hunting. I went up hunting with them. And he would just quote long passages from Robert Service, you know, the Ballad of Sam McGee or Dan McGrew or whoever that was. And I just thought that was so charming to hear him, you know, and it was very entertaining, you know. And I said, you know, I'd like to be able to do something like that. You know, as I grew older, I decided I didn't want to learn poetry. So I thought my younger Christian life, I had been encouraged to memorize scripture by Marion Lehman. I mentioned that. And at that time, I was kind of reticent because I remembered long passages of scripture and the parts I wanted to remember anyway. And so I could quote them. But I realized there came a time when I realized that I was not getting them correct. I was adding things and subtracting things from the scriptures that I was reading. So I decided I was going to memorize some things, and I'm not really sure if this was the first thing I memorized or not, but it took me about 3 months. Every day, what I would do is I would do something. I would go, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. And I would do, if I didn't get it right, I would go back and I would just, quote it and go back and check it and quote it and go back and check it until I got that verse, that one verse, correct. And it sometimes, and after you do it for like about 3 to 5 days, you can probably quote the whole verse, but you can't remember them all together. There's 31 verses. It's going to take a little while, but I just did that and it took me about 3 months to memorize it. But when I tried to do something like that in front of people, it was a different story. It kind of compromised my brain to be looking out and seeing people. I hadn't done it for about a year, working on any memory verses, because I've been reading through the Bible in those four passages. But this, about in December, I started adding, some of the things that I had already memorized back in so I could brush up on them. And it goes on from there, chapter 40. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall appear, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, and the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. O Zion that bringeth good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem that bringeth good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength, lift it up. Be not afraid, say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently feed those that are with young. Who hath measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out heaven with the span. And comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure. And weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in the balance. Who hath directed the Spirit of the Lord, or being his counselor, hath taught him? With whom took he counsel, and who instructed him, and taught him in the path of judgment, and taught him knowledge, and showed to him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are as a drop of a bucket, and are counted as a small dust to the balance. Behold, he taketh up the isles as a very little thing, and Lebanon is not sufficient to burn, nor the beasts thereof sufficient for a burnt offering. All nations are before him as nothing, and are counted unto him less than nothing and vanity. To whom then will you liken God, or what likeness will you compare unto him? The workman. What's he do to that graven image? The workman melteth the graven image, and spreadeth it over with gold, and casteth silver chains. He that is so impoverished that he hath no oblation chooseth to him a tree that will not rot. He seeketh unto him a cunning workman to prepare a graven image that shall not be moved. Have you not known, have you not heard that the ever, no, have you not known, have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Hath you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, that stretcheth out the heavens like a curtain, and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. that bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth his vanity. Yea, they shall not be planted, they shall not be sown. Their stock shall not take root in the earth, and he shall blow upon them, and they shall wither, and the whirlwind shall take them away as stubble. To whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, and not one faileth. Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Teach me, Lord, to wait. And sometimes you don't have to wait very long. You know, I was reading this morning, and the Lord was speaking to the rich young ruler. And he said, "Why callest thou me good?" You know, the rich young ruler, he says, there's none good but one. You know, it's interesting that Jesus asks all the right questions. The young, rich young ruler did not know that Jesus was God. We were reading this week where the Lord said, "Who do men say that I am?" And some said, Elias. And some said, who knows, I can't remember who they said he thought they were. But who do you say that I am? And Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And the Lord says to Peter, blessed art thou, Peter, for flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but my heavenly Father revealed it. But Peter immediately, when the Lord told him that at this time that he was going to have to go to the cross and be crucified and he was going to raise from the dead, and Peter says, far be it from thee, Lord. And this is what I was thinking about this. The Lord turned and he looked at his disciples. And I was thinking to myself, I have this book and I really like it, but I didn't really understand, you know, the man's criticism of the disciples entirely. You know, we think of the disciples as being, at least I did, being something special, but they were just, what made them special was Christ. Amen, preacher? Amen. And his name is Alexander Bailman Bruce, and I mentioned the book, one of my favorite books. It's The Training of the Twelve. The disciples basically grew up in the vain conversation of their fathers. You know, they were reprobates. You know, maybe religious reprobates, but really didn't know much about what God had intended, you know, for the earth. But the Lord knows how to rectify that. You know, he said to Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. You know, Peter had, being raised in the vain conversation his fathers had learned, you know, the things he had learned, you know, in the flesh. And he was trying to correct the Lord. You can see the problem with that. But I want to move on to something. The chapter starts out, comfort ye, my people, saith your God. And of course, we know that from the New Testament that the Holy Spirit is a comforter, but Christ is a comforter as well. So we're talking about the work of the Holy Spirit here. You know, when I first read this chapter, I didn't really know what was going on. And now I know a little bit more. You know, my understanding came from memorizing the chapter. I realized that, you know, I was getting a lot of doctrinal input along with my memory work, which was very helpful. You know, it goes on a little bit further to say, every valley shall be exalted and every mountain and hill should be made low. You know, there's a lot of mountains and valleys in this life. You know, just on the Sea of Galilee, you know, on the ocean, there's mountains and valleys. Am I right? Yeah. Rick has seen a few. Eric has seen a few. I've seen a few. And, you know, when the Lord said, peace, be still, you know, that lake became flat as glass. And then my mind went, you know, to the crystal sea, you know, a sea of glass. Flat, straight, nothing's changing, you know, ice. And standing before the throne, you know, there is coming a day where every mountain and every valley, where there should happen to be. I was thinking about these mountains and valleys, and I said, I went to the hospital to see my dad's, see my dad when he was in there, and his heartbeat, you know, most people go, but his was going. He had no regular heartbeat. It was interesting. He couldn't even feel it. He didn't even, you know, his irregular heartbeat. And I was amazed. And then I went to the doctor, and I have an irregular heartbeat. It's not. It goes boom, 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 boom. And then it does it again. Boom, 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 boom. You know, sort of on the last beat fades away. I don't feel it. I don't even know it's there. But, you know, one day, you know, after my dad got out of the hospital, there was another day where he just flatlined. And, you know, if he claimed to know the Lord, so if he's there, he flatlined right to heaven. I don't know if those are the mountains and valleys we're talking about. Maybe it's just the difficult places in life and the difficult places in... But you can look around and you can find the sine wave, you know, all through life. It describes our life sometimes. But it says, you know, one of the next things it says is, but the glory of the Lord shall appear. And you know that's Jesus. You know, I didn't understand what was going on here at first, but now I know that the glory of the Lord spoken of here shall appear, and all flesh shall see it together, because the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And the voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodness thereof is the flower of the field. And the voice appears to be John the Baptist in the wilderness. And he's talking to the Lord. And the Lord says, what shall I cry? But he goes on to say, the word of our God shall stand forever. And of course, that's Jesus. It's his word. It's his word. But it's Jesus. They're synonymous with one another. I want to go to behold the nations are as a drop of a bucket and are counted as a small dust of the balance. You know, we think that what's going on in this world is so important. But God's not looking at it that way. He's looking at what's going on with us as individuals is so important. And it says, all nations are before him as nothing and are counted in him less than nothing and vanity. And that includes America. You know, I didn't want to, like when I first read this, I know that I was thinking, that doesn't include America. because, you know, the way we grow up, being so proud of everything that we have in our country. But it includes America, it includes Russia, it includes China. All nations are before him as nothing, are counted unto him less than nothing and vanity. You know, I don't have to talk about what's going on in Russia, because what's going down there in Washington, D.C., there's enough vanity going on there, I don't have to look overseas to find some. Yeah. So what comes up next is, to whom then will you liken God? I realize that, you know, people have placed their country in front of God. You know, and that our countries and our leaders and our people, they have become idols. But God will carry you through everything you need to be carried through. You don't have to think the country's going to do it. Although I do not, I'm collecting Social Security and I don't actually want to give it up, but I've been thinking about, you know, if we went belly up, I know God would still take care of me. I'm glad to have it, but I'm pretty sure I can survive without it. You know, it goes on to say, he bringeth the princes to nothing. You know, I think maybe the American system was set up to accommodate that, regardless of whether or not you need to. I mean, other kings and other countries, they're brought to nothing. Just like our presidents are brought to nothing. You know, he bringeth the princes to nothing. He maketh the judges of the earth as vanity. That would have to include our Supreme Court. What this tells you is your real trust has to be in God. You know, we're told to pray for these people, but the recent things that have been going on in our country, you know, there's plenty to pray about. And nothing, you know, if you're praying, you don't have to worry. Which is good. It says, to whom then will you liken me? It doesn't say, to whom then will you liken God? This time it says, to whom then will you liken me? Saith the Holy One. It goes on to say, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. And in case you're missing what's going on there, I want to say something else. You know, the Lord was in heaven. This actually took place. Maybe not exactly the way I represent it, but it took place. He says, David, I want you to take a memo. And David says, Lord, my heart is the pen of a ready writer. Give your memo. So the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line hath gone out through all the earth, their words unto the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun, which is as a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and rejoiceth as a strong man to run a race. His going forth is from the end of heaven, and his circuit unto the ends of it, and nothing is hid from the heat thereof. So when he says, lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number, he calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might. For he is strong in power, not one faileth. He's talking about the stars that Abraham looked at. You know, I go out quite a few mornings, and I am just arrested by the heavens. And so I just quote David, the heavens declare the glory of God, because they are. And I want to be sure that I recognize that. It's good for me. It'd be good. It's good for you. And then, you know, you want to mount up with wings as eagles and rejoice with God. I know that when people pray, God responds. But I do appreciate that people pray for me. I appreciate it. I sometimes wonder. I don't think, I'm kind of skeptical at times that God would just step in if people didn't pray for me. So I'm going along days rejoicing, and I'm wondering, where does that come from? Do I deserve that? Or is somebody praying for me? And I appreciate it being lifted up. I appreciate the care that God has given to me. And this is more than anything else. This is just a testimony of what, you know, the Lord has done for me. And I'm about ready to finish up. But it's real simple to get in touch with God. And he said that the kingdom of heaven is at hand. What he meant was it was within easy reach. All you have to do is ask. I remember when I came to the Lord, I was a reprobate. And I didn't understand anything. I would sit here, and Earl would be preaching, and I'd be going, why do you say that? Why do you say that? Why do you say that? You know, and I learned that what I needed to do, you know, I repented, is go along with him and follow him, you know, instead of, you know, debating. Our family was a big debater. That was a big thing, my dad. He loved to debate. And it was part of the family. And I had to get away from that habit. And so when I started going along, and when the preacher preaches, I may not be thinking exactly what he's talking about, but I'm going along with him. You know, he's going down this path, and I'm going with him. And when he's talking, I'm fellowshipping. I may not be thinking all his thoughts, but I'm going down the same path. And that's the way to listen to preaching. Like I said, it's time. I'm getting ready to finish. I had one more thing I wanted to say. It might come to me. It's not written down. So, praise God. Marilyn, you might as well come, because if I have something more to say, I can't. Oh, yes. All I had to say, the first 8 years, you know, I had no assurance the first 8 years. I'd come here every week and the preacher would preach and I'd feel guilty all over again. But, you know, every time I said, God be merciful to me, a sinner, he worked peace in my heart. And that's what that comfort was about. I remember that. My parents, I told this story, but on my 22nd birthday, I think that they were rather tired of, you know, whatever it was I was doing. I was disappointing them. And they didn't even remember I had a birthday, my 22nd birthday. They forgot, you know, my birthday. And, you know, Ethel Person sent me a tract. It's God's Simple Plan of Salvation. Every now and then I go read it just to see what that night was all about. I read that track and I called on the Lord, and he worked peace in my heart. And I remember that I had comfort in that situation and I had joy. And I couldn't have told you that that's what those feelings were at that time. I just knew that God had done a work. Praise God. So just God be merciful to me, a sinner. It's all it takes to come to Jesus, for Jesus' sake.